This is a Bible Answers program in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program, the manner of Christ's coming. The only hope for this fear-filled world is found in the promises of God. Frank, I know you believe in the second coming of Christ, but my experience in talking with people about the second coming of Christ is that they seem to dismiss the subject on the grounds that we can't understand much about it anyway, so why be bothered? But I have some questions for you. But first, these discussions are brought by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with Bible study classes and the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. But now, Frank, a friend of our program has written in, "I hope Christ doesn't come in my day." Did he have the right view?
Indeed he did not, Russell. To the early church, the return of Christ was a blessed hope. It was the inspiration of their lives. Almost the last thing the Apostle John wrote was, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." You see, Russell, as we learned in a previous discussion, the second coming of Christ is directly related to his first coming, both events being, as it were, but two parts of what the Scriptures describe as a visit to the human race to restore it from sin and death. It requires both advents to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah and the wonderful work of blessing which he was to accomplish.
Frank, why then should anyone dread the return of Christ? Is there anything in the Bible to suggest that we dread Christ's return?
Well, Jesus, in a prophecy relating to his second advent, said that all the tribes of the earth would mourn because of him. Another prophecy informs us that he will be revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God.
Well, there you go. That is not much to look forward to, is it?
Oh, yes, Russell, when properly understood. They present a very bright aspect of our Lord's second visit to earth, but to appreciate this, one needs to take into consideration the entire testimony of the Bible, both with respect to the work of Christ following his return as well as the manner of his coming.
But you just quoted that Christ will be revealed in flaming fire. Doesn't that describe the manner of his coming?
Well, partially so, yes, but the Bible contains so many other descriptions of his coming and the time of his second presence that we can't properly base our conclusions on just one prophecy. Another prophecy says that Christ will come in the clouds of heaven, which is different from being revealed in flaming fire. And again, that Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God.
Frank, can one arrive at a harmonious understanding of all these prophecies relating to our Lord's return?
Only by taking into consideration two very important factors. One being the nature of the divine Christ about whom the prophecies are speaking, and the other that in his word, God talks to us in pictorial or symbolic language.
Well, let's take your first point. What is the present nature of Christ?
The Apostle Paul tells us that Christ is now the image of the invisible God.
Then Jesus is no longer a human or fleshly being.
That's the way Paul understood it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, he wrote that while we have known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know we him so no more. You see, Russell, Christ said, "My flesh I give for the life of the world." And the scriptures teach that when he was raised from the dead, he was no longer a human being, but a glorious and powerful divine being.
That would mean that by nature, Jesus is now invisible to the human eye, even as God is invisible.
That is correct. It is this divine Christ who returns to earth at the second advent, hence the fact of his return, will need to be recognized otherwise than by seeing him with the natural eye.
Now, that is a new thought, the invisible presence of Christ.
Yes, and you see, we believe in the existence of God, not because we have ever seen him, but because we see his works. With our limited abilities, we survey the vast universe and we say that there must be a powerful, all-wise creator. Similarly, in God's Word, we find set forth an impressive array of events which were to take place in the earth following the return of the divine Christ. Hence, if we can see that some of these events are already taking place, we conclude that the prophecies relating to the second advent are beginning to be fulfilled. In other words, we see or recognize his presence by what is taking place all around us.
Can just anyone, that is myself or our listeners, recognize these world events that assure you of the Lord's presence?
Oh, indeed. Anyone can, Russell. Let me give you an example. The disciples asked Jesus what would be the signs of his second presence, and one of the signs he gave was that there would be on earth distress of nations with perplexity, that men's hearts would fail them for fear as they looked ahead to the things coming upon the earth.
Yes, that sounds very much like conditions right here in the world today.
True enough, and after giving us this description of present world conditions, Jesus illustrated what he meant by saying that the sea and the waves would be roaring.
Of course, the sea and the waves have always roared, have they not?
Yes, that's true, and because Jesus knew that we would be familiar with the characteristics of the roaring sea and waves, he used these to illustrate the restless and turbulent conditions of world society at the time of his return and second presence. This particular symbolism is also described by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of many nations that make a rushing like the rushing of many waters."
Frank, those are wonderful texts. Thank you very much. And now I have one more question. The Bible says, "He cometh in clouds, and every eye shall see him." That has always been a puzzle to me. How do you explain that?
Well, even the function of our eyesight is used pictorially in the prophecies to illustrate discernment. The prophet Job said concerning God, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee."
Job, you think, did not see God literally, but discerned him in the fact of his interest and his love. Is that the thought? It all appears to me as being quite reasonable.
Pardon me for interrupting, Russell, but you are right. The Bible tells us that no man can see God literally and live. So the presence of Jesus, who is now in the image of God, will be discerned through the events which occur. In illustration of these events, various symbols are used, and all are so very meaningful and beautiful. It's a wonderful study, Russell, There's not time to go into it further now, but the little book, Our Lord's Return, deals with it in a very comprehensive manner, and everybody is welcome to a copy free. Will you tell our listeners about the little book, Our Lord's Return?
With pleasure, Frank. In this time of uncertainty and fear, when thinking men and women everywhere are more or less hopelessly trying to find a solution for their own and world problems, why should we not give careful consideration to the prophecies of the Bible, particularly as they relate to Christ's second coming? This, friends, is just the reason we are glad to send you a free copy of Our Lord's Return. May I ask, what is the prophetic end of the world? How does the Lord come as a thief in the night? And at the same time, how does he come blowing a trumpet? What relationship does the state of Israel bear toward Christ's return? Does Christ's return signal the end of all hope for unbelievers? What is the manner of Christ's return? The little book, Our Lord's Return, deals with these and many other questions in a practical, understandable manner. Ask for Our Lord's Return and it will be sent to you free by mail. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. That is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.